Greetings, Grove Park Chapel family. This is Pastor Henry with the 8th Midweek Memo. I pray you're doing fine and staying safe. We look forward to restarting all of our services at the church, but in the meantime, we're certainly enjoying our time together on Sunday mornings during the 11 o'clock hour. We would love for you to join us, but do understand if you are not yet comfortable with coming together in public. Today, if you have a copy of God's Word, we'll be in 1 John chapter 3. The title of the memo is, Children of God, What That Looks Like. You know, multitudes of people claim to be, quote-unquote, Christian today. Now, many times that designation is merely used to distinguish one group from another. If you're not Muslim or Jewish and live in a certain country, you may be called Christian. Lots of people are or have been associated with a particular church, either Protestant or Catholic, and are called Christians. I think it is safe to say there are a lot of nominal Christians in this country and around the world. They have the name assigned to them, but what do their lives look like? The Apostle John wrote his first epistle in part to set up a delineation between people who were merely professing Christians and those who are actually following Christ. In the early church, as in the church today, there were people who were saying one thing, but their actions were showing something that didn't match up with their speech. Today we want to look at what God's children look like. God's children have three new things that they didn't have prior to becoming a child of God. People who are mere professors of Christianity do not have these three things. So what are these three new things that a true believer has? Well, believers have, first of all, a new parent. Secondly, they have a new practice. And lastly, they have a new passion. Let's look at the first three verses of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. It is amazing that we are called children of God. God's children, once they place their faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus, have a new parent. Our old parent is Satan. You know, we just observed Father's Day, celebrated to honor our earthly fathers. Well, every day we can celebrate Father's Day as we honor our Heavenly Father. As God's children, there are some things that we are. First of all, as God's children, we are loved by God. John says, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. It is indeed a high privilege to be called God's children. Secondly, as God's children, we are misunderstood by the world. Since the world doesn't take time to know Christ, the world is not going to know his people. And thirdly, as God's children, we are not perfected as yet. We should be growing in our maturity in Christ, but we haven't achieved complete perfection yet. But the good news is, fourthly, as God's children, we will be conformed to his image. We will be like him. I can't wait for that day. And lastly, as God's children, we are living in the expectation of his return. Passages in 1 Thessalonians 4 and Matthew 25 and, of course, the book of Revelation are just some of the places the return of the Lord is discussed. Now let's look at verses 4 through 10 in 1 John 3. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So not only do we as God's children have a new parent, we also have a new practice. The ones who continue to practice sinning practice lawlessness. They do not abide in Christ, nor do they have a relationship with Christ. And as mentioned earlier, those who continue to practice sin are of their father, the devil. That's exactly what Jesus said to the Jews in John 8:44. God's children have a new practice. That is the practice of righteousness. Those who practice righteousness, first of all, do not continue sinning. Now, I'm not saying they don't sin at all, but it is not a continuous practice. And if they do sin, they confess that sin and repent of it. Secondly, those who practice righteousness are declared righteous based on their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul writes in Romans 3:21 and 22, "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Lastly, those who practice righteousness are born of God. The true child of God has the Holy Spirit residing in him or her. John's Gospel records a discussion Jesus had with Nicodemus about being born again. Without the rebirth, no person is declared righteous, nor does he or she have the ability to practice righteousness. The new birth is essential. As we read in 1 John 3:5 and 8 above, Jesus was manifested for two reasons: to take away our sins and to destroy the works of the devil. So we as God's children have a new parent. God is our Father. We as God's children have a new practice, righteousness. And lastly, we as God's children have a new passion, loving one another. Let's read 1 John 3:11 to 18. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brothers. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So our new passion is evidenced by, first of all, not being a murderer like Cain, or even hating our brother. We should hate evil, but pray for those who do evil. Secondly, our new passion is evidenced by the world hating us. After all, what did Jesus do when he was here on the planet? Well, he taught us a godly way to live with principles that are for our benefit, and he healed people from all kinds of infirmities. He relieved people from demon possession, and he even raised the dead, yet he was hated to the point of being crucified. Just like Cain's brother, Christians are hated because their works are acceptable to God, but the unbeliever's works are evil. Thirdly, our new passion is evidenced by loving the brethren. The fact that we have a desire to love other believers is proof that we do have a new passion instilled in us by God. The opposite is also true. If we do not have a love for other believers, then according to what we just read, we abide in death. Furthermore, John declares in verse 15 of this chapter, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Fourth, our new passion is evidenced by laying down our lives for the brethren. The passion believers have should involve making sacrifices for other believers. Jesus laid down his life for others, so as his followers, we need to be sacrificial in our response to the needs of fellow believers. Fifth, our new passion is evidenced by meeting the physical needs of the brethren. If we have the wherewithal to help out our fellow believers, we should take the opportunity to do so. The reaction John cited in our passage from the dispassionate person was shutting up his heart. That reaction is not a typical response from one who claims to be a child of God. In fact, we need to pose the same question John did. How does the love of God abide in him? And sixth, our new passion is evidenced by doing deeds of service, not just lip service. It is easy to say we are going to do thus and so, but it is different to actually do what we said we would. James entreats us to be doers of the word, and not hearers only, in chapter 1, verse 22. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was in the upper room with Jesus on the night he was betrayed. He heard Jesus say no less than 5 times in that upper room discourse that the disciples were to love one another. 4 of those times, Jesus actually says that he is telling them to do this as a commandment. Jesus wanted to be sure that his followers got a clear message of how they were supposed to treat one another after he departed this earth. Nearly 2,000 years later, Jesus still has followers here, and those believers are still implored to love one another. So what then does a child of God look like? Once a person places their faith in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ and begins to grow in the faith, that person will have 3 new things. They will have a new parent, God himself. They will have a new practice, that is, the practice of righteousness. They will have a new passion, to love one another. Any person who calls himself a Christian will have devotion and honor for God, will do what's right, and have love for their fellow believer. Hopefully, that is the picture I get and the picture you get when we gaze into the mirror. May God bless you.